Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush today. He's taking a very well-deserved week off. And John, wherever you are, I hope it's cooler. I really do. I'm joined today by Shimei Navarro of Free Faced in Colorado. Shimei, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay, but it is too hot. It is right
it's
now.
Hot.
Yeah, it's 99 degrees out there. As you know, I'm from Wisconsin.
Yes.
So for us in Wisconsin, when we see weather like this, we figure that's where the bad people go.
Yeah, hell. Totally.
Yes, yes.
And I'm from Texas, so I don't know.
Is this pretty normal for you? What part of Texas are you? Because Texas is like three normal European countries put in one.
Yeah, two different places. Brownsville, which is at the border. South Padre, right by it.
Oh my gosh, is it always hot down there?
It is hot and muggy because it's humid. And then Killeen, and that's just dry, dry, dry.
Killeen is just dry, dry, dry.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's by Fort Hood. I'm not sure. I was very little.
You were very little.
Yeah.
You can't remember.
I blacked it out. My dad was in Desert Storm during that time.
Oh, well, very cool.
Yeah.
Thank him for his service.
I will.
All right, what are we going to be talking about today?
Oh,
give me a topic.
So I was thinking about talking about how this mask whole pressure is dangling social activities between our kids, and the only way to have fun is to conform to this terrifying FDA emergency elixir or mask.
Okay, mask or vaccination.
Or vaccinations, yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that because I really want to talk about why are the schools pushing this so much, or not just schools, like public pools,
yeah,
parks, all kinds of places. We will get into that later. But first, yesterday's impossible question. And by yesterday, I mean Friday. What is the number one thing people judge about your home? When they first get there, what's the number one thing do you think they judge?
Maybe the floor? I don't know.
No, that's actually
it's a mess.
You have kids.
It's a mess all
okay.
the time.
Here's the answer, folks, in case you did not see this. The smell.
Oh.
So that's the first thing to notice is the smell. Of your home. And, you know, maybe if you got pets.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of different kinds of smells and odors about your home, and that would be the first thing they'd notice. Yeah, okay. For me, it was lawn.
Lawn, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's what my husband says.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you got weeds all through your lawn, I'm sorry, man. I'm mad.
And you keep a good lawn. I've seen it.
Yes.
Yes.
I do keep a good lawn.
It's beautiful.
I know. Well, wife, she pushes me.
Yeah.
She's very strict, very strict. Okay. Now, today's impossible question. By the way, we ordinarily wait until tomorrow to answer this, but tomorrow is going to be a best of show with John. And so I'm actually going to answer this in the 5 o'clock hour.
Awesome.
All right. And folks, if you want to look for the answer or weigh in on the answer, you can always go to rushtoreason.com. It brings up the question of the day right there. Here we go. Today's impossible question. Statistically, the team wearing this color usually wins. What color is it?
Okay. Well, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan and it's blue.
Geez.
So I'm going to say not blue.
Not blue. Not blue.
Oh,
that's so, come on.
Maybe
that's
red.
Cynical.
It's so sad.
See, I was thinking fuchsia, maybe pink.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like a team that's called like the Fuchsia Pirates or something like that. I think that would really go over. People would be afraid.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even show up for a lot of reasons on a lot of levels.
Jerseys.
Would you wear those jerseys?
I would
jerseys?
Wear that color jersey. Yeah, that's why I can't. I know Colorado, Denver, but I can't do the orange.
What is fuchsia?
Fuchsia is like a purpley pink.
It's a purpley pink?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So basically, instead of calling it purpley pink, because that sounds weird, they came up with the title fuchsia.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with it.
I think that really, you know, any kind of team uniform that is the same color as various flowers
mm-hmm.
is probably not going to win.
Probably not.
But you say red.
Yeah, I would think red because I took color theory and it provokes like some anger and some, you know, just like, I don't know, aggression.
Anger and aggression.
Yeah, red does that, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with black.
Black.
Yeah. I like, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens, teams like that. I like think it's cool.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Never mind. Okay, never mind black. The Raiders never win. Okay. Yeah, that simply does not happen. Okay, after the break, we're going to have Steve Sundberg calling in, and he owns a restaurant in Aurora called Legends. And I want to talk to Steve about, okay, what's it like now? First of all, what's your restaurant like? But what's it like now coming out of COVID? You know, we're getting rid of the masks and all that. What was it like for you during it? And Steve is also running for Aurora City Council, and I definitely want to hear from him on that because I just think he'd be an upgrade.
Yes.
Very much so. All right. But first, folks, we got Extreme Auto Repair there next. And right now, they got a great deal on tires, lots of rebates. Just give them a call, 303-841-1071. And by the way, folks, this is really important. You might want to keep this in mind. Tires are going up in price. You know, there's a lot of things that are rising faster than other things in the market with the inflation. Tires are one of them. They're really going up. So now is a great time to stock up. And I know maybe you're thinking, you know, it's summer. I can get a couple thousand more miles on my tires. We always think that, right, in the summer?
Yes.
Well, and maybe you can. But here's the thing. Those tires are going to be more expensive in the fall. Mm. You know, so you could get those Primo all seasons now, and you can put them, you know, put them in the garage, get them ready for fall, and then have them slapped on. So call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity. No more hopping from one mechanic to another trying to find a solution for your vehicle's persistent issue. Extreme Auto Repair has a reputation for fixing problems quickly. You bring your Nissan to the dealer because of a rattling noise. They charge you $4,000. You still hear the noise. You bring the same vehicle to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, where Sean and his team quickly discover a broken bolt in the subframe, a known Nissan failure they have seen many times before. Real stories like this one earn Extreme Auto Repair customers for life. As one woman exclaims in a recent 5-star review, "Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity." The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair stay up to date with the manufacturer data for your vehicle's specific make and model for quick, experienced problem solving. KLZradio.com/extreme.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, you hear these words all the time in his ads talking about reverse mortgages. Let me say them slowly. Guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in your house. Sounds like a good thing, right?
I think so.
I think so, too. If you're interested, guys, give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Shemaine Navarro. And right now on the line we have Steve Sundberg, the owner of Legends Bar and Grill in Aurora and also a candidate for the Aurora City Council. Steve, how you doing, sir?
Andy and Shemaine, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing good.
We're doing semi-good. I mean, where are you right now? You're out of state, right?
You guys were talking about heat. I am in Fort Myers, Florida, specifically Corral, and it is warm. I'm sitting a vacation rental property looking at a canal in the back of the house. I just saw a manatee float to the surface a little while ago. It's hot but beautiful.
You saw a manatee float to the surface.
I did. I did.
Okay, wait. It wasn't dead, right? I mean, it's just kind of sunning itself.
It just sort of lumbered along and rose. I saw its back. I assume that's what it was. I mean, what else could it be?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, Steve. You know, you got like rivers in Cleveland. A lot of things float to the surface there, but they're not sunning themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying. Okay, Steve. Hey, before we get into your run for city council, because I want to talk about that, I first want to talk about your restaurant. And that is Legends Bar and Grill, correct?
Legends of Aurora Sports Grill. We celebrated our 30th anniversary last summer.
Hey!
When we get to August, it'll be 31 years. We're just a little neighborhood bar and grill known for better than expected bar food, trying to operate with hospitality and a partnership in the community, giving and partnering and trying to make things better as best we can.
Okay, well, where is it?
Iliff and 225, you know where the Doubletree Hotel is there. We're in front in a little strip center.
Iliff and 225. Oh, you're right by the Doubletree.
Yeah, we're right in front of the Doubletree. In fact, about 6 weeks ago, we won an award, City of Aurora Small Business Recognition Award for our community involvement.
Very cool, sir. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, before we – really quick here, by the way, for those who don't know you, you got a big beard. Am I correct?
Yeah, That is true.
You kind of got the ZZ Top thing going. And I just got to ask you, Steve, honestly, during COVID, did you wear a mask that covered the entire beard?
You know, your typical surgical mask was annoying. It would just push the mustache in the mouth.
So bad.
I found that a handkerchief or a bandana works best. And so that covered up my entire beard. And then when I took it off, people were surprised to see that I had this big beard.
Oh. So,
yeah.
I would have thought it would have taken like a hairnet. Or something. I mean,
that
is a big beard. Okay. Before we go any further, just want to ask you a little bit about your food. I want you to brag on your food. If people go, one second, Shmay.
Yeah.
I noticed that you had pizza rolls on there, and I'm a big fan of pizza rolls. I'm going to have to visit.
Describe them, sir.
Let us know.
The more popular items on the menu as far as an appetizer, it'll fill you up as in and of itself. But it's our homemade pizza dough. It's got fresh garlic, green onions, mozzarella cheese, a little bit of our homemade ranch dressing and pepperoni. And we roll it up, cut it, and bake them. And you dip them in marinara. They're tasty.
Okay. This does not sound like the cheapies that I get at the store. And, you know, they've been frozen for 27 years. And then I throw them in the oven.
These
sound fresh and incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool. What else, sir?
We're known for having a darn good Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Those who've had them in Philly, you know, like ours. I'm not saying it's the best around, but it's one of the best. Great French dip. I'd say about half of our items are pizza related, like calzones, the pizza rolls. We have a deep dish spinach pie, white pizza, southwestern white, even a Philly cheesesteak pizza. We also do a good ribeye steak. Of course, the typical finger food appetizers that are quite good, you know, fried pickles and wings and things like that.
How are the wings? I mean, what are they like? I mean, do you have more the wet or the dry rub or a mixture?
You know what's crazy about wings is they're up about 90% in price among a number of other things. So we do a dry rub Jamaican jerk, which is tasty. We make our own honey hot and buffalo sauce, barbecue, mango habanero, garlic parmesan. And they're typically the larger style wing, you know, not those dinky little things.
Oh, you mean both sides of the wing, or are you talking just a big drumstick?
It's first and second joint, you know, but they're not teeny.
Nice.
Awesome.
I got to be honest, because a lot of places I go, I get those tiny little wings, and I feel like I'm being cheated. I really hate it. One thing that looks really good here, this is what I would order probably, is the combo platter. Let me read this off. Spicy popcorn chicken. Yum. Potato skins. Yum. Onion rings. Yum. And three of your homemade pizza rolls. Yum. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Now, I know people get that to share, but I wouldn't.
It's good for 2 to 3 or 4 people for sure.
Nah. It's good for me. I'm not a sharer. I kind of like to, you know, like, actually, I grab off other people's plates.
Variety is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Exactly. Think I'm being selfish, especially if they didn't come with me. They're sitting at another table. They get really mad. But you see, Steve, I tell them variety is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I tell them, you know, I would even offer you some off my plate, but I finished it. Okay, Steve, let's talk a little bit more about your by the way, how do people find you online?
Legendsofaurora.com is a good simple way to do it, or just drive by. We're right out in front of the DoubleTree Hotel, 225 in Islip. We're Caddy Corner Heatherridge Golf Course.
Oh, okay. And by the way, one of the cool things about this is that you're right off the major highway, so people can get there really easy from anywhere in town.
Yes.
It really is. Yeah, we get people from the tech center. We get people who come to town on these sports vacations with, you know, the Aurora's great for putting on tournaments, and they're just starting to open back up. About 2 weeks ago, we had a major youth soccer tournament, an adult softball, even a powerlifting group. I heard you're from Wisconsin. A lot of these people were from Wisconsin. So we just got busy like we've never been. We set a sales record that Thursday through Sunday as the hotels are starting to fill up again and people are out in groups playing sports. It was wonderful.
Well, Steve, actually, the main powerlifting in Wisconsin is drinking beer.
Yes.
We get those huge mugs, not the wimpy ones.
What part of Wisconsin are you from?
Do you know where Madison is?
Yeah.
Just south there, a little place called Stoughton.
Okay.
So I'm a cheesehead. I'm a Packer fan. It's a hard life.
Yeah, I was born in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and lived in Menominee.
Oh, hey.
Relatives up there. Yeah.
It's beautiful up that way. All right. Absolutely. Okay, so everybody now knows how to get to your place. And one last thing before we get to your campaign, I want to ask, what was it like coming out of COVID? Because you do not strike me as somebody who was a masked Nazi to begin with. Like you, I'm sure you obeyed the state laws. You got to do that. You know, stay out of trouble, keep it going. But you sound like a guy who probably got it back to normal as quick as you could.
We, before the governor was done speaking about the mask thing, I was typing up a notice and running to the front door and taping that thing that they were optional.
Yes.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And it's been a wild ride. Our staff was just starting to suffer wearing those masks. I've been literally running 17,000 steps and a shift, and they're having to wear these masks. It just wasn't healthy for them. So we were glad to shake those off and move forward. And it felt weird not wearing them, like we were forgetting something for a while. And then when we brought back about 50 or 60 chairs and stools and about 11 tables that had been taken out of the place, it just felt, oh my goodness, look at how cramped it is again, but back to normal.
Well, Steve, I got to figure, you got a lot of young employees like any other restaurant, and young people by and large skew liberal. They do. And so I was just kind of wondering, were they willing to get rid of the masks right away? Or did you have some who said, no, we need to keep these? Or were they pretty much ready to say, nope, get them off. I want to breathe. I want to work.
We definitely have a spectrum of people politically there.
Sure.
And I try not to get into it with them. I'm just kind of running a neutral operation. But at the end, everyone, it seemed, was ready. Even your diehard, the other side type of play. They were ready. They were ready to be comfortable again.
See, I've really noticed that too, Steve. There were so many people who said, I'm never giving up the mask. I'm going to keep wearing it for years. And I would see them 1 week after the governor dropped this, and they weren't wearing a mask anymore. And by the way, what you're saying is totally true. You got people on all sides of the political spectrum working for you. It doesn't matter. You treat them all great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love, I can't even imagine wearing a mask with a massive beard like you. I'm a hairstylist. I worked in a barbershop forever. And my poor husband, when he would take it off, his facial hair would be all curled in just every which wonky direction. Just love that you allowed your employees to have a choice. I think that choice aspect is of value.
Yes.
So. Very cool. Very cool. Okay, Steve. Because not all of Aurora is as happy and free and choice-filled and wonderful and tasty as Legends, you are running for office to try to make it a better place. What's going on? What are you running for exactly and why?
Well, I just appreciate the quality of life that we have in Aurora. And, I think the road to a regrettable city is paved with good intentions. Mm-hmm. Like you're seeing people fleeing places in California. Maybe 20,000 businesses have left. Bill Maher even talks about this.
Yeah.
Since 2018. They're overtaxed. They're overregulated. The average small business in California pays $135,000 a year in regulatory fees.
Oh, my.
So we have felt, even during COVID, as a small business, the sting and the unfriendliness of the Aurora City Council, creating a lot of uncertainty, want to jack up the minimum wage, you know, especially for our tipped employees, beyond what is realistic, where we'd have to change our business model almost like a Chipotle style. So I wanted to defend the quality of life, defend my business. I see that as a city government that supports businesses of any size, is friendly to them. Public safety, how about appreciating our police, yet having them build trust with the community?
Yes.
Well, Steve, if I can jump in for a second, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are so few bad cops. And what's really bothered me in Aurora as well is that I would see some statements coming out from the Aurora government that almost put cops on the defensive and basically said, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Right. Yeah. So I have, I mentioned earlier, the community involvement of our business. We've done some things like lunch with a cop. We've sponsored these events where I was working with Jordan at Jordan's Barbershop. We were targeting more of an urban audience to come and ask tough questions of the cops over lunch. But then COVID hit. We didn't get that completely off the ground. But we've done various lunch with the cops in the past. We have sponsored unity games between high school basketball players and the cops. So that's where my heart is, to connect people. I think people are getting tired of the division. And my heart is for unity. I know that's easier said than done. So there's the unity, there's the community aspect of it, but I'm going to fight like hell to protect my business too.
What have you really discovered in trying to bring that message to some of these communities? Because there are communities in Aurora that look at the cops as the villain, just because they're wearing the blue, baby. I mean, that's it. And yet, here you're coming along, Steve, and saying, yeah, when there's a bad one, I want them taken down. But all the rest, they're your friends. I want them there to protect you. What are you seeing as the response to your message?
Well, that's a good question. I've sat in on like a roundtable discussion at Jordan's Barbershop where, you know, you have members of the African-American community who distrust the police. And there's a really valid, almost generational mistrust mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife is from Africa, Rwanda, and it's a long story of how I met her and she got here. And my kids are mixed. Our society likes to call them black. But... you know, my wife doesn't share that mistrust, which I don't know. I guess it just depends on who you've grown up with. Maybe it was an interaction with the police. I don't dismiss the fact that people have had some bad experiences for sure.
Sure.
So the police have their work to do to build that trust in the community, and I'm there to help them.
Awesome.
Steve, it sounds like you want to help them get together with the police who are good for them while not discounting any kind of negative experiences they might have had.
Correct.
Well, that's great. That sounds very, you know, balanced. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the more you do these events, I think it's an awesome concept. That narrative that keeps being pushed in your head about how cops are bad, cops are out to get you because your skin color, all that kind of stuff, you're really creating an environment where it just automatically combats that just through relationship, and that is awesome. I applaud you for doing mm-hmm. that.
Thanks. Hey, it's a small thing.
Hey, Steve, I think it's a big thing,
yeah.
Actually. And one last question here before we get your information. And that is, would you say that you have some opponents in this race who would not be like you in that way? And in other words, they'd be divisive. They would pit races against each other. They would raise taxes on businesses and drive out jobs, drive out job creation. Basically, they would create all of that California feel that you're talking about, people fleeing?
I'd say the answer is yes. Now, this Ward 2 position, which I'm going for, is unique in that Nicole Johnston has resigned early and left the seat open as of a couple of days ago.
Good.
Really?
So, sorry, I was under her, and I'm just going to say it. You can't, I can. I'm not sorry to see her go.
Okay. So I am among five others, I believe, that are going to be interviewed by the public, which is tomorrow night, virtually, and then interviewed by the current council members, and then a vote will be held on the 28th to determine who will be appointed to that seat. It's going to be very close. Could be a 50-50 split. It's likely to come down between myself and a guy named Dr. Ryan Ross. And his accolades are from Denver, and very intelligent, well-spoken, charismatic man. He is a community activist. He is in charge of pushing the equity, diversity message in community colleges.
Okay, so he's in charge of dividing people, pitting them against each other, making them angrier, and making everything less safe. That's my words.
That would be a courageous conversation to have between my beliefs and his beliefs. I'm sure he's very well-versed. But I see that, and my wife even sees that, as something that perpetuates a victim mentality, something that perpetuates division. You know, I've been living a life of inclusion and diversity for the past, I mean, even before I met and married my wife in 1998. And just, I don't care what color of skin my employees are. Let's get the job done. Let's work together. We have a unified aim here. I appreciate their skills. And you just enjoy people's company without having to overthink things.
All right, Steve, that sounds like a great message, and good luck on that. Steve Sundberg, how can people find out more about you and help you out?
I've got a website. It's called Sundberg, S-U-N-D-B-E-R-G, foraurora.com. That's the number four, sundbergforaurora.com. You can donate to the campaign if you're tired of this slant of politics at the local level. Support me. The good guys are going to take this council back.
All right, Steve Sundberg, trying to get Aurora to come back together and quit splitting apart. Thanks for joining us today, Steve.
What a pleasure. Thank you for having me, guys.
Have a great day. I'm jealous of him, though. I resent him. He's in Florida. I'm here.
I know.
I mean, he's in a state right now that's being run by Ron DeSantis. I'm here.
Amazing.
Under Polis.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, well.
Such a difference.
But he is coming back. All right, folks. Up next is Franktown Firearms. Don't just buy a gun. Don't just buy a gun. Get trained, get guidance, get challenged to shoot from different platforms for different situations, like you're going to see in real life. Go to Franktown Firearms, get $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. You can find them at klzradio.com or call Franktown at 720-770-7777.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal: to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen creates her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with Airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/Franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Teresa at the Campion Church said, "I have worked with this company for 9 years. They are some of the best people to work with. When I call for service on our copier, they are always looking to get there as soon as they can. One time I had a deadline and my copier was down. I called them up to see if I could use a copier in their office, and they said, 'Come right on over.' Duke has personally come and delivered a copier for our use for a few weeks to make high-speed copies. I have enjoyed working with BES and would definitely recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Shemaine Navarro. And online right now we have Phil Kirpin with American Commitment. Phil, how are you today?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
You know, I'm living in Biden's America, so...
Well, there's that. Yeah, there's that. But, you know, our local Maryland dictator here announced that all of his dictatorial orders end July 1st, so now we just have the proverbial 2 weeks to freedom here. So, you know, we have that at least.
You've got to be kidding me. They have not dropped all this lockdown stuff until July 1st. The rest of the country is open, dude.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying.
That is horrible. I mean, tell me this. Are you still...
There's not much left. There's not much left. It's like masking kids, basically, is the main thing that's finally going away July 1st.
But oh, good.
Yeah. They better.
So they finally loosened up because most places are not nearly as bad. Okay. Phil, you were going to call in and basically give us a rundown of what Biden's been up to.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I'll give you sort of the overview because okay. I think that while a lot of us were distracted with our various local dictators, Washington has lurched much further left than anyone really expected, and certainly much further left than Biden campaigned on. But we've got an agenda now of massive spending increases, not just the $1.9 trillion that already passed a few months ago, but a $6 trillion budget, a potentially $1 to $2 trillion infrastructure bill.
Oh.
All of that is paid for by 30 proposed tax hikes, but more significantly, because he's not going to get many of those actually passed, it's going to be paid for by inflation that we're already starting to see. In the first 4 months of the Biden presidency, consumer prices rose at a 9% annual rate, and we found out today producer prices rose at a 10.5% annualized inflation rate, which... I mean, wholesale prices are rising even faster than retail prices. It's a pretty obvious what direction that means. The retail prices are going to continue to accelerate. And so we've got that. And then, you know, the energy prices are even more dramatically impacted by the Biden agenda. And they're up 56% in the last 12 months for gasoline, which is the highest that we've seen since Jimmy Carter in 1980. Wow. And that's because we've got the weakening of the dollar from all the spending and all the money creation. We've got demand coming back as people go back to work, go back to vacation, and so forth. But we've also got cancellation of leasing on federal lands and federal waters, cancellation of leasing in ANWR, cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline. And then, you know, one of the other big economic problems we have right now that also sort of feeds into the energy and gas price situation is we've got this massive labor shortage with 9.3 million job openings in this country, and that's because half the states are still paying, you know, $300 bonuses on top of regular unemployment benefits, $300 a week on top of regular unemployment benefits, and that's caused a shortage of
Wait a minute. But I keep hearing from the left, the only reason people aren't going back to work right away, it's not because they're being, you know, subsidized with lavish amounts of money at home. No, it's because they're afraid of COVID at the workplace.
Yeah, I don't think that's it anymore. I mean, that might have been it a year ago. But I mean, look. Yeah, it was very interesting because the federal bonuses expired. I think the original expiration was, you know, like last September, October, whatever it was. And people returned to work in huge numbers. There was a very visible cliff in the data when that happened. And then, of course, they brought it back, not the 600, but 300, which is
right.
Still high enough to make not working pay more than work for a lot of people. And, you know, it went right back the way it was. The job openings started climbing again. And, you know, that 9.3 million is by far a record. It's a million more than the previous record, which was set last month. And so, you know, we've got a severe labor shortage. And it's interesting because your governor recently was asked about this because the Republican members of your U.S. House delegation sent him a letter, and he was asked about this, and he said, you know, we can't end the unemployment bonuses early because that's too much federal money we'd be leaving on the table.
Oh, okay, you know, gosh.
As if it's fine to have, you know, help wanted signs everywhere and businesses struggling because they can't find workers because the alternative is not to milk every cent you can out of, you know, the federal treasury.
But, Phil, don't you think these leftists are basically just trying to get people, the longer it goes, the more hooked people get on that government check?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's something to that, but at the same time, you know, are you going to have a well-functioning economy when you have 9 million job openings and everywhere you go is a help wanted sign? And doesn't that become an irritation at some point that hurts you politically? And so, I mean, that's the challenge that they have is, you know, how do you balance the we're going to send out lots of free money to people so they're appreciative and vote for us on election day with we're going to anger everyone else who's now getting substandard service everywhere because of the labor shortage. And I think that they're going to let it expire in September, which is when it expires under federal law. But, you know, it's going to be interesting in the summer because, you know, we've got 26 states now that are ending it and 24 states that have said, no, we're going to run it out, ride it out until the federal, bonus benefit ends. And I think we're going to see a huge dichotomy between them in the summer. So that's another thing. We've got the most aggressive union agenda we've ever seen, including a bill that's already passed the House, the PRO Act, that actually guts all state right-to-work laws. I know you don't have one there, but this is the idea that you can't be forced to pay union dues as a condition of employment. About half the states, 27 states, have laws like that. They want to basically pass a federal law that says no matter what your state law says, the union can force you to pay dues, period.
Yeah, Phil, now that one looks like it's going to go down, though, right, because of Manchin and Sinema? Or am I incorrect?
Yeah, that's one where Manchin supports it. Manchin supports it,
but that's one where
you know the only way it would pass is if they change the filibuster rule. So for now, he doesn't want to change that rule, which means you know they would need 60 votes, which they can't get. But like a lot of these ideas that have passed the House, you know, they're sort of dead on arrival in the Senate under current rules. But of course, they're trying to change the rules, and so it depends on what happens in that filibuster.
Do you see that budging, though? Because I don't. I don't see the filibuster going away with Manchin and Sinema.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I think they don't just speak for themselves. I think there are probably another 5 or 10 Democrats that sort of privately say, hey, keep doing what you're doing, but I don't want to get my head chopped off, so I'm not going to say the same thing publicly. And I think for that reason, there's kind of some theater going on where they're going to have these failed votes and try to blame it on, you know, Republicans and the filibuster and that kind of thing. But I tend to agree with you. I don't think they're going to change it for the simple reason that, you know, the majority changes hands every few years.
Right.
And why are they going to make themselves irrelevant the next time Republicans are in control? And by the way, it's tied 50-50. It wouldn't take that much to tip it back the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Phil, what do you see happening in terms of tipping it back the other way coming up in 2022? Because I don't think this agenda is selling. Let me give an example. Trafalgar just put out a poll that said over twice as many people blame Biden for the inflation we're seeing right now than those who blame Trump. It's amazing that any blame Trump, but, you know, come on, it's America. So over twice as many are blaming Biden. That seems pretty damaging.
Spending bills too.
What?
Yeah, I mean, look, Trump signed some big spending bills, too.
Sure,
so
he did.
Not pretend he had nothing to do with it. But, yeah, to your point, look, nobody, you know, people blame the current president for the economic problems that they see. And I think, you know, the political calculation the Democrats made when they rushed through that $1.9 trillion, and by the way, $350 billion of it goes to states and localities who almost, you know, entirely were not in deficit. You know, they had high revenues from property values rising and from the stock market, and then they said, well, we're going to bail them out. And said, bail them out, they're not in the hole. And so you have this bizarre situation where they just have massive amounts of money, and, you know, the one good thing we have is they can't find workers either. So they can't massively expand the government payrolls because they can't find workers either. But look, I think that their calculation was you spend tons and tons of money, you send out stimulus checks, you make the child credit advanceable, all this kind of stuff, and then people will be grateful come election day. The problem is that the number one economic issue now that people perceive is rising prices. And
right. It's
very hard once inflation gets going to sort of put the genie back in the bottle. You know, we learned that in the 1980s, I mean, when Reagan and Volcker broke the back of inflation, it was doable, but they had to, you know, raise interest rates to 18% and induce a recession to do it. Do we think that's going to happen over the next year? No, we don't. And therefore, you know, I think we are going to be looking at double-digit inflation come election day, and people will blame the party in power for that because Democrats control everything. Who else can you really blame?
Well, yeah, and by the way, Phil, it's really a twofold thing that's playing into the inflation. First of all, the money printing. We've increased the money supply by a third in the last year, which, my gosh, we didn't increase the products
vertical.
By a third.
It went vertical. You look at the money supply, you know, you want to talk about a hockey stick graph, doesn't it? It just went vertical.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw an article or something that said Cuba isn't even accepting our greenbacks anymore.
Cuba's not accepting dollar bills?
Cuba.
Yeah, that's just, okay.
I had not heard that one. That would, my gosh, that would be bad. Well, the other thing that would really blows my mind, though, Phil, is that they are driving up the cost of labor. Like you said, you know, the $300 a week.
A week.
Wow. And $300 a week. Plus
free Obamacare, plus all kinds of other benefits. I mean, you add it all up, and
labor's expensive.
Not working now work out to something like, you know, a $25 an hour equivalent. And so if you're in the private sector trying to get people to come back into the workforce who are, you know, sitting on the sidelines getting these benefits right now, it's very unlikely that your business model works for sort of relative, you know, for low-end workers.
Oh, it doesn't.
What you're going to have to offer them, the numbers aren't going to work.
Yeah. Bottom line, Phil, is what I'm saying is you've increased the money supply by a third, and you are now making labor way more expensive, so that all these, you know, all these businesses are having to pay way more for their workers. They got to pass that along also to the customer. So in terms of inflation, you're talking the double whammy. You've got all this extra money that's been printed up and shoved into the economy, and you've got really expensive labor costs.
Right. So everyone raises prices because, you know, because they can, because there's all this money out there. People will buy at the higher prices. Everyone raises prices. There's not the kind of pushback that you normally get from intermediaries. And that's why, you know, that's why we're seeing the price action that we are. And, you know, the other ingredient, of course, is, you know, when energy prices are going up and you want them to go up as a matter of policy because of your global warming agenda, then you don't say, oh, this is the problem we're going to fight. You say, oh, this is great. What else can we do? Maybe we'll tax it, or maybe we'll regulate it, or maybe we'll mandate more electric cars, or all the kind of stuff that they're talking about. And, of course, energy prices, particularly the gasoline price, is the single most visible price that people pay and the one that has the most political consequence.
Now, Phil, that would have gone up a lot anyway just because of demand coming back, but Biden's policies really did drive it up, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it's sort of a perfect storm of everything. You've got, as I said, you've got limitation on production from withdrawal of leases and regulations being put back in. You've got restriction on transportation with pipelines being canceled and with the shortage of truck drivers that we've got. And then you've also got all of the other kind of inflationary stuff that we were just talking about. And then you've also got demand coming back from people sort of traveling more and going back to vacations and going back to commuting. And so you have literally every ingredient you could possibly have. And, you know, that's why prices are up 56% over the last year, off a low base, of course, because that's when not a lot of people were driving a year ago. But, you know, I think that the challenge for Democrats is they've been arguing as a policy matter for years now that we should want prices this high or even higher because using gasoline is a bad thing for the environment. And so I think it's hard for them to do or say anything to address it when kind of some of their main policies are actually, you know, designed to push prices even higher.
You see, Phil, I think your concerns are because you are just too America-centric. Don't you understand that driving up gas costs is fantastic for Russia, Iran, and these places.
I don't know if you saw this at the G7. President of France said that it was so wonderful to have an American president who is part of the club, that is a team player.
He's not just part of the club, folks. Yeah. He is taking our tax dollars and paying for the club. And by the way,
But that's like an in-kind contribution to Republicans next year, though. The president of France says Biden's part of the club. Okay.
Oh, I think so too. I would be playing that in ads. And by the way, pushing all this green energy is fantastic for China, because they corner the market on everything you need for green energy. So, my gosh.
And they've backed off their own emissions reduction commitments as well, and are building hundreds of coal plants. So they're laughing all the way to the bank, because they sell the wind turbines and the solar panels to us under these expensive policies that are put in, and then they themselves build it all using coal and powering their economy using coal.
And meanwhile, Biden shuts down our pipelines and lets them go through for Russia.
That's a pretty unbelievable one. That's a pretty unbelievable one, the withdrawal of the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2. How do you even defend that on the, you know, as consistent with any of their other policy priorities, right? They're saying we got to get away from fossil fuels. We're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on electric vehicle subsidies if he gets what he wants in his infrastructure bill, and then say, Oh, yeah, no, Russia can ship their oil and gas through a new pipeline to Germany.
Oh, I know how you can sell it. You sell it by having your like-minded media not ask you about it. It works great, Phil. It works absolutely.
Yeah, I think they did ask him. Wasn't that one of the questions where he just mumbled for a minute and a half? And
it was pretty good.
So they can ask, but he doesn't answer.
No, they don't answer at all. Hey, Phil, this has been awesome. You're welcome back anytime. Phil Kirpin, once again, how do people read your stuff?
AmericanCommitment.org is the website.
AmericanCommitment.org with Phil Kirpin. Go there, folks. You're going to want to hear everything Phil has to say. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a good one. All right. Up next is, after the break, let's talk about masks and kids.
All right.
Especially here in Colorado. By the way, folks, if you want to talk about it, it's 303-477-5600. But first, Michael Bailey Law. You know, we all put things off, especially writing our will. But if you call Michael Bailey, he'll give you something you'll enjoy the rest of your life. Peace of mind. Get it done, folks. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274. Or you can find him at klzradio.com. Peace of mind. Don't put it off.
Michael Bailey knows from personal experience why you prepare for the unexpected. You tend to think of yourself as bulletproof until something proves you wrong. For KLZ's mobile estate planner, that proof of his own mortality came when he was hit by a light rail train. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law lays out a specific strategy for your assets so you know what the future holds, whether you get hit by a train or not. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Golden Eagle Financial. Folks, inflation is completely changing how you prepare for retirement. Everything you've set up is worth less. Isn't that right? I mean, it really is. You need Al Smith. Let Al guide you, assess your needs, and he'll prepare you in ways that deal with everything going up. Call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
How you receive income from your nest egg in retirement is even more important than the size of your nest egg. All your adult life, you've focused on growing the money you set aside. Now you enter the uncharted territory of making certain that those funds will last for your lifetime. Al Smith will help you transition from accumulating wealth to preserving it. Chartered financial consultant and founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith works with people of varied income levels to create tax-free income in retirement. Some of his clients enter retirement with healthy pensions and robust portfolios. Others rely primarily on Social Security and the money in their 401ks or IRAs. Regardless of your previous investment strategies, how you choose to structure and withdraw your savings will have significant tax implications. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/money to make your money last. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC registered investment advisor.
American National Insurance. Paul Leuenberger would love to help with all your insurance needs. And if John recommends him, you know he's easy to work with and provides great pricing. Call Paul at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Shemay Navarro of Free Faced in Colorado. And one more time, Shemay, you've mentioned this before. What is that Facebook page all about?
So it's Free Faced in Colorado, and we started a couple months back when the mask mandate was still in force and people were still wearing masks, and we were like, you know, we need to encourage people to take these off and just, you know.
What'd you have them do?
We just had him go, you know, when you're out shopping and you walk right past the guy asking, oh, do you have a mask? And you're shopping in the store, just take a selfie and post it in our group. And, you know, people kind of encouraged each other to do it, and there grew a competitive aspect to it. It was kind of fun.
Okay, but really quick here, I want to get to a number. You guys started only a couple months ago. How many people are on Free Face Colorado?
Now?
Yeah.
6,700.
6,700 people
are
on Free Faced in Colorado Facebook page.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'd say that's a pretty successful idea you got there. Hey, let's go next to Craig in Wheat Ridge. Craig, how you doing today?
Hi, Andy and guest host.
Hi.
What's up, Craig?
I'm sorry I didn't get her name.
Shemay.
Kudos to your station when you can get guests like you just had on to where we can learn something. You know, have a guest that is knowledgeable and can teach us something.
Isn't he great?
Now, isn't it amazing how Joe Biden fits in so well with those leaders at the G7 summit? Doesn't he look like just, you know, they embrace him and say things like, oh, he's such a breath of fresh air. Total antithesis of what Donald Trump was trying to do, obviously. He, you know, Trump was upset with those nations, you know, relying too much on funding from the U.S. for NATO and things like that, and our military bases, providing them protection, all those kinds of things. It's almost disgusting to look at those leaders, because they're very socialist. They embrace his type of politics.
Yeah, Craig, let me ask you this too. What does it say about the American media that they think it is so great that Biden is embraced by the rest of the world? We both know that the reason he's being embraced by the world is because he's giving America to them.
Exactly, and funding. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
We're funding a lot of the things that Donald Trump said, you know, we need to start making them pay their fair share. You know, America first. Biden is nothing about America first.
Oh, no.
And then as to the gas prices, I wish we all had, you know, those of us that are tired of paying these gas prices, we all had that little Smiley Joe sticker that we could put on every gas pump that we go to and say, these high gas prices are brought to you by Joe Biden.
That's funny.
I would love that, Craig. I really believe, once again, I think gas prices were going up anyway, but I really believe a good 50 cents has been added a gallon. When you have a president who comes out, he's shutting down pipelines, he's shutting down exploration, and he's sending a message to the world, hey, there's going to be less oil in the future. You know, oil prices are based on futures, on what's coming, not what is. He's sending a message, and they're just jacking up the price.
Right. Well, unfortunately, you know, we went up in the mountains last weekend, and I was shocked at how much it cost us to go to Grand Lake and back from Denver. And, you know, a year ago when we were traveling at this time, it was probably half that, half the amount that we paid on this trip. And people are still out there. People are still going to, you know, we're all kind of, you know, as they say, screwed. We can't do anything about it. We're going to have to pay those prices to go anywhere. And people still want to have recreation. They still want to have some fun in their life. But unfortunately, it's taken a big chunk out of our pocketbooks.
Yeah, but Craig, you're missing the good part here, because, you know, we now, the American taxpayers, can be seen by the world as generous.
Yes.
We're paying for the Paris Climate Accord. We're paying for anything they need overseas. We're going to send aid everywhere. We're going to fix the world, according to Kamala. We're going to talk about that
root.
In the next hour. Yeah. I mean, basically, Joe Biden has told the world, we are sending you our money.
Yeah. We're the ATM now.
We're the ATM. Exactly. Craig, don't you think we're the ATM for the world now?
Oh, sure, and I would love to be a fly on the wall when he has his little meeting with Putin.
Oh.
I mean, that, you know, Putin's going to be sitting there scratching his head, like, what did he just say?
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us.
Oh.
You know, I mean, he's not going to be able to use a cue card or a teleprompter to have a discussion with him, so we know who the alpha male is going to be in that discussion.
Definitely.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to sell us out, Craig. He's going to sell us out all the way, and I just totally agree. Thanks for bringing it up.
Well, he's going to go in there thinking, I'm going to be tough with Putin. You know, we're getting these cyber threats from Russian agencies or Russian groups, and they still believe there was, you know, Russian influence in the election. You think he's really going to put Putin on the spot and say, hey, you need to stop, buddy? Putin will laugh in his face.
He's not going to do a thing that Putin doesn't like. And by the way, Putin loves high gas prices. Craig, we got to run. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a good one. Okay, folks, that is it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 6 p.m. Coming up next, it's Adam Brandon from FreedomWorks and Rachel Alexander from townhall.com. Until then, drive safe, folks. We'll see you after the break.